Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
It seems to be one of those days where I don't think something's going to work, but then it works. So, hey, as long as it keeps working, I guess we're okay. Anyways, this is the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and, hey, I did say it was Friday.
Start spreading the news.
Stu is here. Stu, how you doing?
All right. Welcome to another Friday edition of the show.
There we go. All right. If you'd like to call into the podcast, talk to Stu or I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Know anything else you need? Head over to sportstimeradio.com. The blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we don't have Stu on Twitter just yet, but feel free to reach out to me at Burke Time, and I can pass any questions, comments, or whatever you have along to Stu. So there you go. We are off and running. Well, maybe just off, because I don't know if either of us are running anymore, but okay.
Yeah, my running days are over with.
Yeah, mine apparently are too, just because my knees don't allow it, so I'm guessing they're kind of done. So, now, I was under the impression that Major League Baseball and the Players Union were going to sit down today, but apparently I had my date wrong, and it is tomorrow.
Correct.
That they're
That's
actually
right.
going to get together. We'll actually see some progress out of these bozos?
Well, I'm not too optimistic about it. It ain't happening, but I guess they've already agreed in principle to a universal DH.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought there was something else as well that they agreed to. But I wasn't quite sure what it was. I did see a quote from Rob Manfred today saying, or not, yeah, Rob Manfred, sorry, I'm getting all my commissioners mixed up, saying that he doesn't believe there will be a delay in the regular season. So that's good, because if there's a delay in the regular season, I'm out.
As am I. Do you believe him when he says that?
Oh, I hope so. That's about the best I can really kind of say, right? I mean, I don't really know. I don't know where they stand or how these talks are actually going. You just hear a bunch of BS like always. And I saw, again, a bunch of finger-pointing being done with all the blame going on the owners. And I was just like, are you guys not reading this? It's the players who haven't negotiated in good faith. I'm sure the owners are, as big a crook as the players' union. But at least they tried to go to the table and work something out, and the players just came back with their exact same proposal.
Yeah, no change there. And I was wondering something else. And let's be optimistic and say that maybe he's right. Maybe the regular season will start on time. What worries me is that will there be a lot of injuries in the beginning of the season because of lack of spring training preparation?
Yeah, you do wonder when it comes down to that, will guys be able to get ready? I know we had a lot of issues, during the COVID season with guys just seemingly getting hurt left and right over the tiniest thing. And, of course, their complaint was they didn't have time to get ready.
If there is a delay.
Yeah, you would have to think.
Right. If there's a slight delay to spring training, say it starts a week later, 2 weeks later, is that enough time for them to prepare for the regular season?
Well, you would think that they're working out, right? I mean, you wouldn't think these guys are just sitting around their houses or anything. But, last time with everything that went on, I'm really beginning to wonder what they do.
Well, that's a good point you brought up, and I was thinking about that too. Let's say for the moment that you're correct, and these guys are industrious and know that their future is at stake, and they're working out quite a bit during the off season, anticipating the fact that spring training might be delayed. If and when the regular season starts, there'll be a little bit of a lag of spring training. Are we going to look forward to low-scoring games initially?
No, it may actually be the opposite. We may end up with high-scoring games because the pitchers won't be prepared.
Well, what about lack of timing in the batter's part, though?
Yeah, but that's easier to come back, with. Where, if a pitcher is a little off, he can get rocked. If a batter's a little off, in today's game especially, he can still hit it out of any ballpark because, it's like hitting it out of the polo grounds. Boy, there's a dated reference. Okay, kids, go look up the polo grounds and see how short the fence it was. So.
Man, when you say polo grounds, I think of the famous 1951 game that we talked about between the Giants and the Dodgers.
Was that the Bobby Thompson game?
Yes. Oh. That is correct.
Yes, that was the shot heard around the world.
Yes, and I have the feeling that you weren't around for that game, though.
No, I was not. But I've seen the highlight, of him hitting the home run in black and white and all that other stuff. Was Dusty Rhodes on that Giants team? I know they had a player by the name of Dusty Rhodes.
I think he was.
The wrestler.
A different athlete, but to this day, and I think we've talked about it before, there is still some speculation that there was some sign stealing in that game that led to that Bobby Thompson three-run home run that gave the Giants a 5-4 win.
Yeah, well, I'm sure if they were stealing signs, they weren't doing it. They were doing it the way you're supposed to do it in baseball because, that does go on. Except today there's just too much technology involved, and it's really cheap the way they do it.
Hey, maybe that's going to be addressed during the – if they ever get the players and the management get down to talk about resolving these issues. Is that going to be discussed, you think? You think that will be a point of contention among the –
Yeah, you do wonder. I don't know if that would mean they would have to write into the collective bargaining agreement. I think that's just something that Rob Manfred can rule on.
And if it ever happens again, I would think that the penalties would be quite strenuous this time.
They would have been last time had they not needed the players to testify against management or whatever they had going on there. So,
it would be nice if they could sit down and talk about that and talk about some other issues and, hey, let's play ball.
You would like to think this is a lot easier than what it is. Of course, the problem is greed gets in the way, and that's on both sides. We mentioned last week everybody wants more than 50% of the pie, but you can only cut the pie into so many pieces.
Yeah, when they come up with 105%, you would think that they may have to go back to the drawing board and work something else out.
Yeah. So, that's the frightening thing there is, sadly, I believe that at times they think you can actually have 105%. But from all my years of school where math was probably my either my first or second best subject after science, I can tell you that that's not possible.
Right.
It's like when your coach tells you to 100%, it's just not going to happen because you can't do it.
No. we've talked about creative accounting, but even then, the accountants would have a difficult time splitting the pie to 105%, wouldn't they?
Yeah. And, you know, and if somebody can figure it out, again, 646-478-3753, call in and tell me how to do that, because I really like pie, and if I could get an extra 5 or 10% out of a pie, I would really be interested in that. So please, please pass that information along.
Yeah, I'd like to hear it myself. And as John always points out, I'm not on Twitter, but I know if someone would address the solution to me, he would pass that to my attention so I could understand what's going on.
Definitely, you know. And, I mean, if it was a, you know, if it was a turnover, then Stu would be all in on it. Trust me, I know all
Absolutely.
About these turnovers. He's got to...
Especially Apple. So, not so much not so much cherry turnovers, but the Apple turnovers, I'm all in.
Oh, all right. Well, we got a basketball game tonight here locally. The Bulls are taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves, who, believe it or not, are actually above 500. I don't know how many people are paying attention to the Timberwolves. Obviously, they're
what, two or three games over.
29-26, taking on the 34-21 Bulls. And the game is in Chicago, so I want to see how big of a favorite the Bulls are here, and we can surprisingly, the Bulls are only a 3-point favorite. I thought at home they might be a little more. It might be like 4 or even 5.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe
four and a half,
maybe. But that's not surprising considering how enigmatic a team the Bulls are this season. I mean, you can never tell with that team how they're going to play, and they can run off to a huge lead and fall apart in the last stages of the game. So it's going to be a close one, I think. Minnesota's not a bad ball club.
Yeah, and, you know, the Bulls have, they've lost two of their last three. They did win their last game, but they did lose two of their last three. Minnesota, on the other hand, they did suffer a loss in their last game, but they had a five-game winning streak before that, so they won 5 out of 6. And it finally looks like Karl Anthony Towns is playing well. You know, it's about time. People expected him to be a superstar, and then Jimmy Butler called him out, and we know how that worked out. Butler's now in Miami, and Towns is basically an above-average player in Minnesota. You know, it does look like the Bulls are, you know, got some more big injuries, though. You know, Ayo Dosunmu and Nikola Vucevic are listed as day-to-day, so it's unsure if they're going to play tonight. And for the Timberwolves, it's Anthony Edwards, their number one draft pick from, I want to say, 2 years ago now, is also listed as day-to-day. So you have to keep an eye out on who's going to play and who's not.
What is the injury for Vuk?
Oh, let me see if they actually list it here. They just, you know, they you know how it is. They haven't listed as day-to-day like everybody else. Let's see what they
the Sunmu has the concussion protocol.
Yeah. Vukovic has a bruised left hip. So that's where he is.
Would Michael Jordan have stayed out of the lineup with a bruised left hip, you think?
No, I don't think he would have stayed out of the lineup with just about anything. So, and Anthony Edwards has a knee injury. So, yeah, everybody's just questionable. Nobody knows. You know, it'll be a game-time decision on who plays where and, you know, when they're if they're going to go out tonight. So we'll see.
This is a very, very difficult game, by the way, to me. Sorry for interrupting, but to me, if I were a gambler, this is an extremely difficult game to pick, wouldn't you think? Very, very tough.
Yeah. So, being that they're at home, I would probably still take the Bulls at home and give the 3 points. 3 points isn't too much in an NBA game.
Certainly, you wouldn't be comfortable making a selection, though, because this is, to me, it's a pick'em game.
Well, as bad as I am, I'm never comfortable making a selection, so that's just kind of how it works out for me. Again, possibly it could be a deciding factor. This is the first of back-to-backs for the Bulls. But tomorrow's game is Oklahoma City, who isn't a very good team. So you would think they would, you know, they would be okay, you know, playing back-to-back in this situation. But we'll see.
If they win tonight, are they going to rest one of their starters tomorrow?
You know, that's been the thing they've done. And, like, it wouldn't be surprising if I see DeRozan sit tomorrow as kind of that stupid maintenance issue that teams use now when they play back-to-back games. I do find it humorous because, you know, they used to play back-to-back-to-back. But now apparently players aren't in good enough shape or talented enough to do that anymore. So.
Yeah, as we talked about previously, there was in some of the playoff games they would play back-to-back on the weekends, Saturday, Sunday games sometimes.
But yeah, you can't do that anymore. You know, that's a no-no. The players' union gets very upset. Well, actually, LeBron gets very upset, and then the players' union gets upset.
Right.
So,
of course, if the Bulls were to lose tonight, I would think that they would not rest anybody tomorrow.
You would think, but still, surprisingly, teams still do. It's kind of odd the way they handle it, but we'll see. I did want to ask you, are you surprised that the Bulls didn't even make a minor move at the trade deadline yesterday?
Yeah, no, they do have great team chemistry, and I saw a few names bandied about, but which would have helped maybe a power forward, but I'm not really surprised that nothing was done. I would have been shocked to really see a major move.
I was a little surprised that I didn't see them try to add a shooter, you know, because I know they have that. I think it's Matt Thomas, but I think there could have been an upgrade over Matt Thomas out there somewhere.
And who, if the deal would have been made, would the Bulls have just given up a draft choice or one of their secondary players?
Well, remember, you have to match salary in the NBA. The salaries have to be within so much of each other. So they probably would have had to give up a player. And that may have been the problem, is the fact that the Bulls have already traded quite a few of their draft picks. You know, that's how they got Vujicic. And, you know, I don't know if they moved anything else around. You know, they might not have a lot of assets left to deal.
You always hear one name bandied about for when the Bulls are involved with trade discussions. It's always Coby White. But I think it would be a big mistake to get rid of him.
Yeah, I did hear quite a few people on the local radio mention that they believed he was going to be traded, which was quite surprising. But and you do have to wonder if maybe the concussion, you know, that, well, I don't know if he actually officially suffered a concussion, but the issue with the sumo, you wonder if maybe that even hesitated the Bulls more in, you know, moving a player like White, because if the sumo's going to miss time, you're going to need Coby White.
Absolutely. And that could have been a factor. You might be right about that, because we don't know how long he's going to be out. Does he actually have a concussion, or is it just concussion protocol at this stage?
Or if he's even going to be out, so, you know.
But as we talked in the emails, the Bulls have been very fortunate with getting him on their team.
Yeah, that was really a very good draft pick. And I still don't understand why he slipped to the second round. I wonder, you know, what everybody or, you know, what we were missing. Because, I mean, he looked really good in Illinois.
He did.
While he was there. So I don't know, you know, what the issue was.
And didn't he wind up going with the Bulls? What was it, around a number 38 pick or something like that? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, it was 38 or 32 or something like that. I was quite surprised.
and boy, they are very fortunate because he's a good kid. I mean, he's an intelligent kid. He seems like a very hard worker, and he's going to be a great asset for years to come, barring any catastrophic injuries, of course.
Yeah, it definitely looks like it was a, going to turn out. You know, and again, it's odd because the Bulls' tendency to hit on these second-round picks. Remember, Jimmy Butler was a second-round pick, and obviously, you know, he's turned into a great player. Taj Gibson was a second-round pick, and while he's not a great player, he's definitely a complementary quality piece to a team.
Yeah, he's had a nice long career in the NBA, for sure.
Yeah, you just wonder if DeSumo is, going to be another one of those guys.
Yeah, he's a great asset to have, and I hope he's not out too long.
So, but then, of course, the big trade that, rocked the basketball world, we had James Harden, along with Paul Millsap, going from Brooklyn to Philadelphia. In return, Philadelphia gets Ben Simmons, Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, and two first-round picks. I don't know. Ben Simmons is kind of an enigma to me. But I'm not quite sure this is a great trade for Philadelphia. I mean, do you think this puts them in a position to win? And win it all this year.
Well, it puts them in a better position, I think. But I'm not quite sure it's enough to get them to go all the way. I don't see that happening, but I see them being maybe the favorite now in the East.
Well, oddly, Brooklyn is still the favorite. But, and I guess the one point is the fact that Ben Simmons wasn't going to play for Philadelphia this year. He wasn't going to suit up for even a game. So at least they're getting a quality player in James Harden who will play for them. I guess on the flip side, when you look at it from Brooklyn, now that New York has, taken care of the mask mandate, I wonder if that means Kyrie can play home games. But how long does it take Ben Simmons to get ready and possibly be helpful for this team?
Well, it's certainly not going to be overnight. It's going to take him some time to get into game shape, don't you think?
Yeah, well, you got to remember the game we're talking about here. You're looking at a guard who can't shoot free throws and can't shoot three. So does it take him even longer?
It's quite possible. It's quite possible. So you have to wonder how good that deal was for them.
So, the two other complementary pieces, Seth Curry is one of those guys who can stand behind the three-point line and shoot, and Drummond, even after all these years in the league, is still one of the best rebounders and defenders. I know defense is a lost art, but he can block shots and rebound, so that'll take any kind of pressure off of Irving or Durant from actually having to think about playing defense. And they can just concentrate on their offense, which is basically what everybody in the NBA does anyways.
Yeah, that's the name of the game in the NBA, for sure.
It's a bit of an interesting trade, so I am kind of curious to see how it worked out. Harden does actually currently have a hamstring injury, and he won't play for the 76ers this weekend. I don't know when he'll actually suit up for them. And then Simmons, we haven't heard. We got to see how long it takes him to get ready.
Now, is the All-Star game coming up, next week, or is it coming up pretty soon?
Yes, it is coming up very soon. And I will actually have to look it up for you to tell you when it is because I do not remember.
That'll help Harden out a little bit, I think.
They had the draft last night, and Kevin Durant was one of the captains, so he didn't pick James Harden. It is the 20th of this month.
Well, I know that's going to be on a Sunday, of course. a week from Sunday, a week after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll draw as many people, though, as the Super Bowl is going to draw.
Oh, no, definitely not. You know, well, you know, no All-Star game would, because, you know, like we talked about before, with the exception of baseball, they don't resemble the game that they actually are supposed to be.
And the new way they select, maybe selections enough, or that they put the teams together is kind of strange, and I'm not sure, you know, how good that format is going to turn out. Of course, they've done it the last couple of years, right? When selections are made.
Yeah, the first year they did it, it was kind of interesting. And then the second year, it still had a little something there, but now it's played out. I mean, who cares?
Yeah. Hey, was this going to be the year where my prediction comes true?
It could be. You know, I mean, sooner or later, we're going to get 400 points in a... You know, in an All-Star game.
Yeah, this is one game out of all the All-Star games that is not worth watching.
Yeah, but we have two Bulls playing in this game, don't we? I mean,
that's right, an opposite size, though.
Oh, did they end up on opposite?
They're going to be on opposite sides, Levine. It's going to be a different team than he's going to go against DeRozan.
Yeah, that's right. DeRozan is on Team LeBron, and LaVine ended up on Team Durant. It's interesting that it's Team Durant, even though Durant isn't going to be playing in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
So.
Right, exactly. So that'll be interesting. Just as long as nobody gets hurt, I guess that's all I care. Get the game over with, and let's get back to the regular season.
If they ended up guarding each other or something, maybe it would be interesting. Other than that, I don't know. You know.
Yeah. Well, I don't see them playing much in the way of defense. Well, you know, there's never any defense in the All-Star game anyway.
So yeah, it's bad. Just bottom line, it's just bad. There's no other way to put it. You know, you can call it what you want, but it is bad. So.
Yeah, the NHL is a lot more interesting with their format. It's something different, and it seems unique, but interesting to watch at least.
Yeah, you know, that game is at least watchable. You know, I didn't realize that the Pro Bowl had turned into basically touch football. Until I saw a snap or two when they played it, and they actually blow the whistle before guys get tackled.
Yeah, well, that's why there were over 80 points scored in the game. But you expected it anyway.
Yeah, I was just kind of like, oh, okay, I didn't know this was how it worked now, but... Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. I mean, I'm not watching it, but I'm sure people did because for whatever the reason, they always do.
That's what I can't figure out. I can't understand. Just because it's pro football, because it's the NFL, is that why the ratings are always so good? I guess so.
Yeah, it's they need that filler between the – you know, the week off and the Super Bowl, or how that works out, or whatever. To be fair, the rating was actually a little down this year. It was 5.1, but that still means that 8.23 million people watched it.
You know, I'm sure the sponsors were pleased with that, and that's not bad for an All-Star game.
Yeah, you get 8 million, a little over 8 million people to watch that game. That's monstrous.
As you pointed out, to watch a touch football game, that's a lot of people.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. I that many people would actually sit there and watch it, but they did.
The the Super Bowl itself, I think it's scheduled to start this of course, 5 o'clock. And I'm sure the starting time is going to be around, what, 5:20, 5:25 this Sunday?
Yeah.
They always start at a
particular
time. Where I'm
the site I'm at now has it listed 5:30. But, yeah, usually it starts at just some odd number. So.
Well, it'll be an interesting game to watch, but I'm most looking forward to the halftime show.
Well, I don't even know who's doing halftime this year. I didn't even look.
I think it's a combination of rap and hip hop, and one of my favorite forms of music.
Yeah, I generally don't really pay much attention to who's doing halftime or any of that. I think the couple I did watch, I watched the Bruce Springsteen one when he did it, and then I believe I watched Prince. I think he did one, but other than that, that's not why I'm watching this. I want to see the games and I want to see the game and the commercials. That's all I want to see.
I always worry that the lengthy halftime is a deterrent to the team that's on a roll. And it may be a disadvantage for the team that maybe goes into the half with a lead and then they have to sit through not just a normal 10-minute halftime, but double that or more.
Yeah, it can kill your momentum. If it's one of those things where, you score going into halftime and then you're going to receive the kickoff, so you have a chance to really lay it on them. And you could possibly put up back-to-back touchdowns, and then you have to sit there in the locker room.
Yeah, but they have no say in the matter, and it's multi-millions of dollars involved, so they have to I'm sure they're going to have to live with it, and they should be used to it by now.
Yeah, well, this is how the NFL makes their money. Sponsors pay big bucks to get those commercials on, and fans pay big money for tickets, and it's crazy.
And there always seems to be some clever new commercials that they play during the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Who has the best new commercial that they run, and which could help, of course, your product placement type of thing, and depending on how clever and ingenious the commercial is.
It's definitely very important. A very important part of the game now has become the commercials. But before we go away today, we will make some game picks with the score and the MVP and stuff. But I wanted to ask you something because this kind of confused me, and I get it was just his first year on the Hall of Fame ballot, but can you explain to me how Devin Hester isn't a Hall of Famer?
Well, he will be. I was kind of surprised myself. It was kind of a shock that he wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer. And no question he's going to get in eventually, and sooner rather than later, but that was kind of mind-blowing that he didn't make it the first time around, and I can't figure out why, and I wanted to get your thoughts, and I wanted to mention it to you via email, but I forgot about it, but I'm glad you brought it up. What's your take on it?
Yeah, I was just really baffled, because, you look at the qualifications for the Hall of Fame, and, while I give it to you, he wasn't a great offensive player. He is the greatest kick returner of all time. Now, Ray Guy got in the Hall of Fame being the best punter to ever play the game. Jan Stenerud got in because at the time he was the best place kicker to ever play the game. There have been other place kickers added. I know Morton Anderson is in, and I don't know if there's another one or two that are in. But Ray Guy is the only punter, and in all honesty, I wouldn't be surprised if he's the only punter to ever get in. But Devin Hester is by far the best kick returner of all time. still the only player to return the opening kickoff in a Super Bowl for a touchdown. That warrants Hall of Fame to me.
Yeah, and are they thinking perhaps too much of a specialist and not enough offense during the regular aspects of the game to warrant getting in the first time?
You know, I mean, you never know what, like, these voters are thinking of when they come up with these things. It's just kind of like, okay, we're not going to put this guy in because, but like Cliff Branch got in, and I almost wonder if, did he get in because he passed away? Because I think there's some better receivers on the ballot who aren't in.
It could be a sympathy.
You know, guys
vote.
Like,
yeah, that's possible.
You know, I think there's somebody else.
But I'm sure
Devin
Hester must have been shocked and disappointed at not making it when his first opportunity came along.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, like you said, he's going to get in. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, of course.
But, you wonder why he didn't get in.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of speculation going on about the reasons for it.
But yeah, I mean, it will be interesting to see how long it takes him now to get in. You know, I mean,
well,
Kenny,
I don't think
Kenny
it'll take
really,
too much. I don't think it'll be too long before he's in.
Yeah, you wouldn't think. I mean, you know, will it be next year? Will he have to wait a couple more years? It just depends. Some guys end up, waiting much longer than others.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to have to wait more than a year or two. But that's only my opinion, of course.
Yeah, and at least you hope so.
Right.
And again, I mean, he belongs in.
He sure does.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, that's why I think at the most 2 more years and he'll be in.
So yeah, you hope so.
Yeah,
you're not the only one who's
shocked about the decision. It's been a lot of talk in the media about it and reasons and why, and it's very puzzling when you think about it. Like the greatest returner in the history of the game not making it the first time.
Yeah, and you know, and that may be, again, you may be right about that. It may be the key, the fact that it's his first time. So it may just be that may just be the deal.
Yeah, I think I'll make it the next time. Or the third year maximum.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't know, I don't really know the NFL Hall of Fame voting process like I do baseball. I know it's completely different, so. But, yeah, I don't know, like, how many years he has to stay or how it works out.
Yeah, eventually in baseball, as we all know, some of the players are done after a while. I mean, they don't get a certain percentage of votes. They're gone in terms of voting.
Yeah, you got to get, I think it's 5%, then you can stay on for a maximum of 10 years.
Yeah.
Used to be 15, but they changed that.
So I guess we're not going to see Sammy
in
the Hall of Fame anytime soon.
No, Sammy went the way of Bonds and Clemens this year. This was all their last year on the ballot.
Yep.
So they all go off together. Now it's up to they used to call it the Old Timers Committee, but they changed that now. I don't remember what, the Golden Age Committee or something like that. It falls into their hands.
Yeah. It is unfortunate because all three of those players deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, and I, even if they didn't take those PEDs, they would have had a Hall of Fame career anyway. But
to be fair, I don't know if Sammy gets there.
You don't think
without
he gets,
his
yeah.
Bonds, you know, Bonds was a Hall of Famer before, and so was probably Clemens before they started using. But Sammy would have probably been a little borderline. I don't know if he would have quite made it.
Possibly right, and we've talked about this before, but when you compare a headshot of Sammy in the beginning of his career as to his last couple of years, it's so obvious that he was enhanced and not good for his long-range health either, I don't think.
Yeah, no, you do wonder, you know, how these guys will you know, we'll see how, you know, how it works or how it goes, but
yeah,
hopefully too many ill effects on the road for them.
Yeah. I don't think it's ever going to go out of their system completely. That stuff is very dangerous.
So obviously we know we've seen a lot of, you know, wrestlers die early after long-term use, and you wonder with as many years as these guys used it, will it cost them?
Yeah, of course, a lot of times in the wrestlers it's heart-related, but we know what caused that heart-related disease in the first place.
Yeah, that's, you know, and I mean, what you have to remember, the heart is a muscle. So when
yes.
you're building all that stuff, you know, that's a muscle as well.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I'm glad they're watching it a little more stringently now than they were then.
So, you know, we'll have to see how it works out for these guys down the road, but hopefully they live long, you know, long lives.
Yeah, one can only hope.
You know, just kind of how it is. But all right, well, let's jump back into our Super Bowl talk here and see what we can find out. Maybe they have a kickoff time. If my internet wants to work now. I was doing fine here for, you know, we got 43 minutes into the podcast. I didn't have any problems, and now it's going to act up on me for the last few minutes, I guess. Let's see. Yeah, as of now, the Rams are down to a four-point favorite. I believe they opened as a five-point favorite. The over-under is 48.5. So let's start out. Are you going with the Rams, or you like the Bengals in this one?
Well, I'll take the points and go with the Bengals as an upset.
Yeah, I would love to see the Bengals win, but I am picking the Rams. I do think the Rams will win. I do think the Bengals cover, though, because I think the Rams are going to win. I'm going with 31-28. Do you have a score in mind?
I'll go Cincinnati 28-24.
So that puts us both with the over of 48.5. And then do you have a non-quarterback MVP, because everybody picked the quarterback as the MVP?
Yeah, I can't think of anything. I'm going to have to go with a quarterback. I don't have anybody else in mind.
So yeah, I'm hoping that like Aaron Donald wins it, you know, for the Rams. So that would be my guy. But yeah, I know, you know, the media immediately likes to give it to the quarterback. That's just how they do. No matter how good or bad they play, I don't think Brady was actually the MVP last year. But since Tampa Bay won, they gave it to him. The Rams will be without Tyler Higbee. It was announced today that tight end Tyler Higbee won't play. I believe he's the only starter that's going to miss the game. The Bengals tight end, C.J. Uzma, he says he's going to play, so we'll see.
Well, a lot of players will gut it up and play the big one. Is this one of the few times that one of the two teams in the Super Bowl is playing at their own home field, so to speak, home, at least in Los Angeles?
Yeah. Yeah, I believe so. I for some reason I thought it was the first time, but I was thinking if it was the first time, people would be making a bigger deal out of it. But oddly, I heard a stat today that said 56% of the tickets sold are for people rooting for the Bengals.
Wow. Well, obviously, they're kind of a Cinderella team. They're the Cinderella team, and they're going to be the...
Yeah, while it's, you know, the team's actually in the Rams' home stadium, the majority of the fans there, it appears like it's going to be Bengals fans.
Yeah, that's surprising. That is very surprising.
No.
I'm still not sure if Kansas City just let their guard down in the second half of what happened to led to that win for Cincinnati.
Yeah, you wonder, you know, what happened there. So, you know, just one of those goofy things.
Well, I like you, I'm happy that we don't have to wait too long to have pro football again, right? As soon as the game is over with, we can relax for a month or so, and then look forward to some more football.
Yes, we will have the USFL. So, but yeah, now, Ari, would you, if you were a gambling man, would you be interested in some of the side bets? You know, you can actually bet on stuff like the length of the national anthem or the coin toss or, you know, even so much as will the opening kickoff be a touchback?
You know, the only one I would bet on would be the opening kickoff would be a touchback. I don't think you get too much odds for that one, though.
Yeah, well, only if you bet no. No is would be the way to make your money there. You know, obviously, it probably will be. So yes is heavily favored along that. But, yeah, if it's not and you bet, you know, it's not, you could actually make some money there.
Yeah, that's I always find it peculiar. There's so many strange bets that you could make. The coin toss, the length of time of the national anthem, that's another great one.
Yeah, I know there was some issues last year, and some facilities actually took that bet off the board after apparently some media members timed it during practice when they did a run-through.
So and usually when they do it for X number of minutes in the practice, it's approximately the same number of time, same amount of time in the actual game. You wouldn't think it would be more than a few seconds.
Usually, you know, obviously you don't have to nail the exact time. You can pick, you know, say 1 minute to 2 minutes or however, you know, whatever the time frame is. So.
Who's doing the national anthem this year? Do you know?
I don't remember. I heard it, and I don't remember. Oddly, I wanted to say Dolly Parton, but I don't know if that's correct.
Now she's getting a little longer than the tooth, so maybe she'll cut it quick when she sings the anthem this year, if it is indeed her.
It's possible, yeah. I'll have to, so, you know, I'm not sure who is who is going to actually do it. I'll have to see if I can find it here and look and see if they say. But yeah. Oh, see if this will tell me. Super Bowl 2022 national anthem singer. No, it's definitely not. That's definitely not Dolly Parton. Mickey Guyton. Mickey Guyton. Oh, wait. Well, maybe not. That might not be right. Where is the actual singer? Oh, no. Mickey Guyton is apparently, she's singing America the Beautiful. And then, yeah, is that right? Oh, no, that's the pregame entertainment list. Let me see if I can find the actual national anthem singer. No, they have her country artist Mickey Guyton. I will be honest, I don't know if it's a man or a woman. The picture on this webpage has a black woman, but I don't know if that's Mickey Guyton because I don't know who Mickey Guyton is.
Yeah, I don't know too much about country singing nowadays, so I couldn't help you with that one.
Yeah, you know, I know a tad bit because there are times where US 99 is the only station that will work in my office at work, so I have no choice but to listen to it. So,
well, as you know, by the way, that is a very difficult song to sing. So I hope I hope she does a good job on it. Not the easiest song to sing.
Mickey Guyton is a black female. So she's a black female country artist, and she will be singing the national anthem. So there you go.
All right, I'll be looking forward to listening to her.
And we can bet on how long she's going to sing it for if you want to.
Can you also bet if she makes a mistake and blows one of the lyrics or anything like that? Do they have that too?
You know, I don't think you can bet on that, but you can bet on what color the Gatorade shower will be. They have orange, red, lime green, and yellow are all together, clear or water, and then blue and purple are your choice.
And you mean to say that people actually bet these things?
Yes.
We'll talk about being a fanatic.
So, yeah, you know, and There are you can even bet on, like, halftime, like, what the first song will be and stuff like that.
The mind boggles.
Oh, well, how about these three for bets? You ready for these three?
Ready.
You can bet, will a fan run onto the field during the game? Will any player propose to his girlfriend on the field after the game? And you can also bet on the Puppy Bowl odds.
That's right. They always show that what they show at halftime, the Puppy Bowl.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there's just a myriad of things you can bet on.
Well, I think most fans will just concentrate on the game itself and the over-under and MVP and things of that nature.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty sure, you know, like the I would say what you would describe as a professional gambler would, you know, stick to that kind of stuff. The other chancy stuff I think is more for fun and to get more people involved.
Yeah, the professional is not going to even look twice at those possible bets that they would make.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, I'm sure there are people out there who are kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, the first song is going to be this at halftime. So.
And don't they usually schedule those songs in advance and have them all set to go? Or you would think
they do, but nobody knows what they're going to start with. So, you know, obviously the singer knows and the band knows and the people right there close to it know what they're going to start with. But that, you know, stuff like that generally doesn't have time to get leaked out. So.
I think I mentioned that I think it was going to be hip-hop and rap this year. So Can I bet that there will not be any Cole Porter or Gershwin music at this year's halftime? Would I win money that way?
That I'm guessing you probably can't. I don't think that's possible.
No,
so.
I can't make an investment and cash maybe a little bit of money on that one. I guess not, huh?
I don't think they would take that bet with who's performing. So
besides the names I mentioned,
yeah.
they wouldn't know who they are anyway, so I guess
yeah.
they wouldn't take the bet.
So yeah, it's just one of those things you're not gonna happen. So
no easy money for me this time, I'm afraid.
Yeah, no, that would be an interesting bet, but yeah, I don't think the odds would be. You probably wouldn't get much return on it anyway.
No. It's like when there's an overwhelming favorite at the racetrack, going up at 1 to 10. So it's great. You're going to bet $2 to get back $220.
Yeah, and that would pretty much have to be how it would work with, you know, a bet like that, even though the odds would be even worse than that, I'm sure. So.
Oh, for sure. I just hope it's a competitive, close game. That's what I'm looking for. Any kind of a blowout. I don't want a blowout.
Get the Super Bowl blowout. So I'm hoping we get a good one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good game. But as you pointed out, I would probably say that you're probably correct in betting the Rams to win this one. But I would really like to see an upset.
I don't have a horse in the race, and I just think the Rams are the better team. So that's the only reason I'm picking them. But I think it would be kind of neat if Cincinnati won. I really do, with the year they've had and the run they've been on. So,
especially after they came from behind in such dramatic fashion in the playoff, in the AFC playoff game.
Yeah, well, you know, the frightening thing with a team like Cincinnati is they could be good for a very long time. I mean, they have a young quarterback, a young wide receiver, and a really good running back who's not that old either. So if they can continue to improve, you know, we may be seeing them here on multiple occasions.
Right. But you can't discount Kansas City either, bouncing back again next year.
Yeah, you know, they're just such a kind of an enigma. You know, they looked like they were going to be a dominant team, and since they won that one, and it just hasn't happened.
No, and now with the second half was a complete shock to a lot of people, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, like, I just hope it's a good game, and now you and I can go and get ready for it. Look at that.
Right.
All right, have a good weekend, everybody. Be safe.